Hosting for the show is provided by mcprohosting.com. Experience the ultimate Minecraft server solution on our award-winning servers. Featuring quality service at bargain prices, get yours today at mcprohosting.com. Want something to listen to while playing Minecraft? Why not try an audiobook from Audible? Listeners of our show will get one free book of your choice when you sign up for a 30-day free trial. Go to audibletrial.com/theshaft today and enjoy a free audiobook from over 100,000 selections.
Can't sleep, gotta build.
From the Dead Workers Party, a podcast about all things Minecraft. Enjoy your stay in the Shaft.
The Shaft, episode 165, recorded on January 10th, 2014.
I'm Brent Copeland.
I'm Eric Fullerton.
I'm Maz, one name.
And I'm the last.
I've only got one name.
Afro Monkey.
In the house.
And we are joined with two special guests today, writers Daniel Goldberg and Linus Larson. How are y'all doing today?
Hello.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, great. Great to be on the show.
Tired.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all staying up and working with our time schedule. And you two have written a book. Can you tell our audience the name of the book?
Yeah, the book's called Minecraft, The Unlikely Tale of Marcus Notch Passion and the Game That Changed Everything.
Excellent.
And very this, long title.
And how long has this book been out for?
The English edition
in 3 minutes.
Been out, yeah. What is it? November, Linus.
November, yeah.
Right? Yeah, since November. And there's an audiobook coming. Yeah, in English. And there's an audiobook coming out in March. Is that right?
Ooh. Yeah, that's what I'm told.
I think it's fine.
Who's reading it out?
It's read by a guy.
Morgan Freeman, I heard.
Yeah, a guy called Jonathan Davis who's actually done quite a lot of games voice work, which we think is quite cool. And yeah, so he'll be doing the reading, and it'll be out on Audible, fittingly enough. Being as they're one of your sponsors and everything.
Yeah,
March, as far as we know.
So everybody will be able to pick it up there if they're subscribed to Audible. If they're not, they can always, of course, go to audibletrial.com/theshaft, get a free membership, and get this book with it.
Another cool thing
if you
about
guys,
the,
that's right.
The reader, Jonathan Davis, also did some voices in Max Payne 3, Star Wars The Old Republic, Red Dead Redemption. He's been all over the place, so that's pretty cool.
Wow. If you guys wanted a bad Christopher Walken version done audiobook, I can manage that for you if you like.
Oh, sweet.
Minecraft. The unlikely person changed everything. Wow. So many blocks in this game. What? Hey, little piggy.
I think you've sold it. I think it's a done deal.
Yeah, let's make this happen.
And we got to meet you guys down at Minecon, and y'all were gracious enough to give us a book that we have here in studio.
Yep. I rode some rides with you guys. We did the Spider-Man ride. My favorite.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
In general,
did we do the Hulk ride together as well? The Incredible.
No. For some reason, I was afraid of that ride. People were like, yeah, man, it's going to make you Ralph all over the place. So,
but in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. It's Fast and Furious. Now I kind of regret that I didn't do it. So
you should.
Next time.
Is Ralphing in a good way just Ralphing on other people? Is that?
Yeah.
I don't know how you Ralph in a good way.
Yeah, that's true. Got to be.
Not through the nose, I imagine.
I think probably. Yeah. You can only like Ralphie in a good way.
Noise.
I prefer to Greg myself.
Yeah.
To Greg. That's
Greg.
A nice one.
Greg.
That's when you're upside down?
Yeah.
So, how has the reception been to the book so far?
Great. I mean, reviews have been fantastic, I think. We're really happy. And people seem to buy it and seem to like it, so we're really happy about that. And it's coming out in a bunch of other languages as well. It's coming out in Brazil and in Poland, and there will be a Japanese and a Korean version as well. So it's sort of...
Wow.
Yeah, so we're... happy with that.
So that's interesting. Is there a lot of work you'll have to do with translators to make sure they're getting words right, or is that something the editors take care of?
With the English one, we did a lot of. Yeah, but I mean, as we don't speak Japanese, we have pretty much no idea at all whether it will be how the translation will be. So we just have to trust them then.
I could do the Christopher Walken Japanese audio book as well. Ohayo gozaimasu. Oh,
beautiful. So I had. Yeah.
It's kind of nerve wracking working with the English. Or it was for me anyway with the English translation, because you know I can read English obviously, so I can see what the results are like, and also the reviews are kind of, you know, the reviews from sites like TechCrunch and so on are the places I read. So that, you know, it's very important to me that it comes out in a good way. But with the, you know, the Japanese version or the Portuguese version, there's no way for me to understand, or for Linus either, to understand what it actually says. So it makes I think if you, that will make it a lot easier than it would have been if it was for the English edition.
And while y'all were busy writing the book, how involved was Mojang with it? Did y'all do a lot of interviews with them?
Yeah, we did. We did a lot of interviews. I mean, it's our work. It was not commissioned by them. The idea to write it was ours, but they were very kind to give us the interviews we needed. And I think we were kind of lucky, because when we did the interviews, I mean, Minecraft was a big deal already, but it wasn't nearly as big as it is today. And it was probably a bit easier back then to get all the interviews. We live in Stockholm. Our office is just two blocks away from the Mojang office, so it makes it a lot easier to get interviews, and easier for them to find the time to meet with us. So they were very, very helpful that way.
So the guys at the Two Player Productions who did the movie were really jealous of y'all, I bet.
Well, they started earlier.
They had to do more plane rides. Anyway.
And is there something coming up? Y'all have another book y'all are working on?
We're sort of discussing. This one's been received pretty well, as Lena said. So we're discussing if there are other things to do. Other books to write concerning games and sort of video games culture that haven't been done yet, but nothing's sort of set in stone yet. And of course, I mean, Minecraft is just keeps growing and keeps getting more and more interesting. So it might be, you know, might be something to follow up there as well.
Can you give us a little insight on maybe what some of the stuff, like maybe the structure of the book, or what kind of stories are being told?
Yeah. Okay. So what we wanted to do was, like, when we started out, so we are both journalists, and we used to covering technology and games and internet related yada yada everything. So we when we set out to write the book, we, like most journalists here, and I think at a lot of places, sort of viewed Minecraft as a huge success business-wise. I mean, it was like the way it was told by most people was one guy made something and it sold a lot and made him very rich. So that's sort of the initial idea had a lot to do with money and business. So what we would do then is, when you set out to write a book like that, you would try to like find the original business plan, and you would try to find analyze their marketing strategy and everything like that. But we pretty soon realized that wouldn't make sense at all, because there obviously was no marketing plan or business strategy to begin with when Minecraft was created. And we set out then to write a more personal account of like the creative process behind how Minecraft was created, and try to describe and sort of analyze how the whole phenomenon grew and why it turned into the huge thing it is today. So we basically follow like where the ideas to Minecraft came from, and how it was initially created, and how it grew from there, by interviewing Notch himself,
his like family and old friends and old co-workers, but also the other people who have been involved in Mojang or in the Minecraft community. So it's basically the story of how Minecraft turned into what it is today. Daniel, do you want to add something?
Yeah, so I suppose it sort of became essentially a much more personal book than we had in mind originally, and it became a book. In terms of structure, it's similar to how a book about I suppose a famous musician or a famous painter or a famous artist would have been written, and that I think is that's something I personally would like to see more of when it comes to writing about video games. There isn't enough journalism out there that covers video games in the same way as, well, I suppose music or other forms of art and popular culture are covered. And that, you know, it's a very, Minecraft is such a great story in that sense. It's a very typical, you know, story of one person doing something pretty at the time, something that at the time seemed pretty strange, but then becomes this huge overnight success. Someone called the book a Cinderella story for the internet age. I think that's, or I suppose the story of Minecraft, a Cinderella story for the internet age. And that's sort of sums it up quite nice.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And it seems like it's a lot more behind the scenes than I think I've seen from any other Minecraft product, even the documentary. So it's fascinating. I think you can learn a lot about Mojang and Minecraft and what was happening by getting this book. So definitely go out and pick it up on Audible if you want to wait, but get a hardback and the audio version.
Yeah,
yeah, get two, get then three, get the Japanese edition as well.
Then you can read along as you listen to it.
That's right.
Very nice. And as players, you guys play Minecraft too, right?
Yeah, sure. We play. It's actually quite funny when you start to write about something that you really enjoy, because I mean, I played Minecraft quite a lot when we started writing the book, but as soon as you start analyzing it and trying to understand it and trying to write something about it, it becomes, at least for me, quite difficult to really enjoy Minecraft, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's more, you know, you can look at it and you can be fascinated by it and you can find it really interesting to talk about, but actually playing it, it's sort of quite close to work, I'm sad to say.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested in Minecraft, but I don't play it that much anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
Will I be disconnected from this call now for saying that?
No.
Oh, I thought we were all going to be real quiet and make them think of me.
Do you think you'll come back to Minecraft later on? I tend to go in waves playing Minecraft. I won't play it for 2 or 3 months, and then all of a sudden I'll be addicted again. Do you think you'll come back?
Well, that's one of the things that makes it unique as a game, isn't it? That it's just, it's something that you never, it's kind of like, I mean, the Legos comparison is tired and really old, but it's very fitting as well. You never really grow tired of Minecraft because, you know, whatever you set your mind to doing is what, you know, what you can do in the game. And that, you know, that's always interesting. So yes, absolutely. The answer is yes. I don't think anyone...
Just put it back on top of the wardrobe and get it down a bit later.
Exactly. I don't think anyone could say that they're tired of Minecraft. You could be tired of doing something specific within Minecraft, but you know, there's always new stuff to, you know, come up with and put your mind to, and that's what makes one of the things that makes them the game so fascinating.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, speaking of Minecraft players, we had quite a few. Or three that sponsored the show today, which anybody can do at deadworkers.com/sponsor. The first one is an individual, Carl, who says,
"Hi, No Gooey Guy." Now, this is a response to No Gooey Guy. He said, "Hi, Carl," last week.
Oh, my goodness.
So the conversation it's begun. Begins.
So hello to it's both of with. You, and thank you for sponsoring.
Yeah, and feel free to get in on that conversation if you want to. Yeah. Sponsor right. show yeah. And butt your way in.
Yeah.
Then we have it's like pen pals. It's like pen pals. I like it.
Yeah,
it's
in a great. Weird roundabout way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a couple service
expensive.
Sponsors. The first one here is Cindy K, who says, "Visit Minecats Minecraft server at play.minecats.com. Their survival creative skyblock, prop hunt, paintball, and parkour. We have a lot of fun. Come check us out. Meow at play.minecats.com.
Cats. All right, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this other one here, Proper Prop Otto. Proper Prop wow. Otto? That's his name? That's
hi,
name.
All. Hi, all. It would mean the world to me if you checked out my YouTube channel. I currently have 820 subscribers, and at 900, I will donate to the shaft again. YouTube.com/Infestor HD. I do Minecraft and more.
Infestor HD. Yes.
Can't beat that. Go sub and pays us.
And he'll donate again to the shaft. So that's we only need 80 of you to go do it.
And don't
I'm going to do it now.
And don't just get him to 900. Get him to 9,000.
9,000.
And one.
Over 9,000.
That's insane, sir.
Speaking of 9,000, we had to sift through our 9,000 different fan arts this week.
Yeah, we were overwhelmed by the response to our fan art competition, weren't we?
Yes.
We were. How do you think it went, Maz?
Well, I haven't actually had a look at them yet. I'm waiting. I want my eyes to see these glorious delights for the first time live.
Excellent.
Live reactions.
Well, how about we do that right now? Let's look at them live.
Live. And now this is a contest in which you will get real things mailed to you as a prize from Maz.
It's the first
contest here this week, so we're asking for more. But who is going to be the winner this week?
Let's see. The first one here is from Don Swordsman.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Wes.
Yeah.
Can you read that out in your typical Black Wes fashion?
I don't have a black voice.
So how do we make this audio friendly?
Call me that. It don't make me no. Never mind. Can you dig it?
Yeah, that's about the same way I would have said.
Huh?
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you dig
yes.
it?
Yes. So that's the whitest black voice I've ever heard.
Well, no, the one that you hear over Skype right now is the whitest black voice you've ever heard.
And the next one here is from Mother Madeline.
Who is that Alice?
Oh, hashtag shot. I love
yes.
it.
Yes. Nice one.
That might have my vote.
And the next one we have from Mr. John Citizen, which is another hashtag, the shaft.
The shaft. Done in some watercolors.
With an angle.
That background's nice.
Dutch angle?
Yeah, what is that all?
I don't know. Who knows? Swedish angle. I don't know.
And the last one we have is from Brick Comrade, which is the Black Wesidactyl.
Very interesting
oh my
art
goodness.
Here. Very interesting art.
That is cool.
I think the Black West thing has just gone too far.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
So we might need to put a bullet in that today.
And of course, these are on YouTube. This show is on YouTube, so you can watch along. But let's pick a winner.
A wiener.
My vote is for the first one, the Black West.
Yeah,
because that look at that font in the hashtag there with its gradient.
Yeah, yeah, right. He put a lot of effort into making this in PaintShop.
Yeah, yes. In MS Paint.
Yeah,
it's a masterpiece.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
this one's got my vote too.
I mean, he even has square pecs underneath that lovely shirt.
Yeah, can you dig it?
No.
I can dig it.
No,
we can all dig this.
No.
This is good.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, so we're going to call that one the winner?
I think so.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Don Swordsman. You have won the Minecraft Beginner Handbook. Look how shiny that is.
Shiny.
Oh, so shiny. And it's got all of your tips and advice on the inside and how to survive your first night and do some crafting recipes. It's exactly what the game itself is missing, is this book. So here, have it. You can have it.
Excellent.
I'll be in touch on the Twitters
and then
find
everybody
out where
else wins a card for a free album. It's the After Show Volume 4.
Volume 4. Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned till the end of the show when we announce the next contest, right?
Yes, this is a sneak peek.
I think in the next contest, we have a copy of
the book from our guest that we'll be giving away as well.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
So,
right.
Sweet.
So next week you can win that book.
I like it.
But yeah, did you get it signed?
Oh, yeah. No, we never got it signed, did we?
No, I can do it after the show.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that, people.
Our journeys.
So, how's everybody been doing this week in Minecraft land? You guys play anything recently, Daniel and Linus?
I mostly fixed the server. My nephew was extremely upset with me because my domain name was configured the wrong way. I sort of take too much pride in running my own server, I think. Do you run your own, or do you use a service of some kind, or do you use Minecraft Realms?
We rent, right?
Yeah.
We actually have a sponsor for the show, MC Pro Hosting, who gives us our servers. We got like 15 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we never got into hosting.
I've been sort of busy this week because I just became a father, actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So I haven't had time to play any video games, although I'm giving him, the little guy's named Rufus, by the way, I'm giving him about, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, and then I'm going to try to introduce him to, you know, to some games. Get him started. I'm planning to sort of make him into this, you know, like these kids who are trained athletes. I'm hoping to do something similar, but I don't know, like in StarCraft or Street Fighter or something, so I can like enter him into championships in a few years' time. It'd be like a social experiment.
Yeah, the League of Legends pays big.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was worried for a second you were going to say. I was worried for a second you were going to say his name was Steve.
Steve. No.
Thank you for not.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sorry, Maz. What was that?
I said nothing.
Oh, nothing.
That's a good thing to say.
Well, that's a good thing. I didn't get to play much Minecraft this week. I was going to actually record another episode of At Brent Copeland with you and Deffy, but ended up playing Minecraft in Gary's mod instead.
Yeah.
So that was crazy. Mm-hmm. And we have some stuff coming up with that later. Yeah. Not in the show, but later in life.
Yes.
In general. But that's about it for me.
Cool. I roamed around on the old shaft lands.
Ooh.
And man, this is really cool.
Were you mobbed?
No, actually, I went on and there was no one else there.
Oh.
So I just kind of walked around in people's places, looked around.
Stole their stuff.
Spent a while just kind of looking, you know. Just
killed
like,
their horses.
Wow, this place has really grown and it's really wild. The sets that we had, we built a few sets on the shaft lands for filming skits. And I went and revisited some of our sets, and there's just, like, you know, cities built around it now and everything. Huh. The sets are completely untouched, just like we left them, like, a year ago.
Did they have altars built around them? Are they, like, sacrificing people to them?
I walked all around. I thought I'd see, like, some hidden something, like a little head or a sign or something. But no, very untouched, like a museum
something. Did you install the tumbleweed mod? Just to nobody in there.
No, but I did. I did put the cricket mod on.
Yes,
kind of sounds like that.
You need to have like the harmonica mod. Like when you're walking down the street, someone is quietly playing a harmonica.
Oh yeah.
Does that exist? No, that doesn't exist, does it?
No. Yeah.
I'm always lying.
But it looks really great. Like, so now it's kind of cool. When you sponsor the show, your head gets put on right in the spawning area, and it has your name on a sign.
Nice.
And it's really cool. So you can walk in and go, oh, these are the latest sponsors right there.
Yeah.
Really, really high-tech stuff, that.
Yeah.
Wild cool. stuff.
And RP's working on the new server when we switch over to the latest and greatest. So I think they're building out a really cool spawn area and things like that. So
yeah, this is 1.62 currently. But I'm getting on there more and more. So this is exciting. So get on in there and
get
let's do some stuff.
Yeah. How about you, Afro?
I'm still living the hermit life on the Minecraft server. I'm thinking about building a wall all the way up to the sky so people can't get in, so I can just be by myself.
So sad.
Yeah.
I'll just break through the wall.
Well, yeah.
I break through barriers.
Is it made out of wool?
These walls can't hold me in.
But no, I for the most part, I've been sleeping a lot the last week, but I did log in for a little bit and realized no one else was logged in. So I'm like, I guess I can continue like doing whatever I was doing before I stopped playing.
So let me get this straight. You want to live the hermit life, but you want people near you.
I want people to know that I'm actively not interacting with them.
Nice point.
Fair enough. So I guess we can move on down the road to some news.
I've been doing things.
Oh yeah. Maz. I was trying to give him that hermit feel. We're here for you, Maz.
That's right.
I've been just playing in my vanilla business. It's a show on my channel, Extreme Beyond, Minecraft Survivors. I recently found horses. That might not excite anyone, but it excited me.
Were they naked horses?
They were.
Whoa.
And
you creep. You either tweeted or said something about this is the only time you're ever going to actually look for horses. What did that mean?
I hate horses. They are the worst. Like, in real life, they're just the worst thing. they're dead eyes and... There's nothing worse than a horse. But yeah, I went looking for these horses, found them. I had no idea how to catch them or anything, so that was fun, trying to figure that out. I got one saddled up. They're really slow. Maybe I just got a slow breed. Maybe you guys can fill me in.
Did you get a donkey or horse?
I got a white stallion.
Oh, yeah.
And he just seemed like he was, you know, going regular speed.
They should be going faster than like a minecart.
Yeah, they should be.
When I ride them, that's what they seem to do. So yeah. Maybe you're holding shift or something, and like, can you crawl with one?
No.
Like, go slow, like nothing?
But this one was like doing a little bit of a canter, so I was like, what? So maybe I'm doing something wrong. Huh. Broke his legs or something, I don't know. But then I tried to get him home and they won't cross the water. So I've tied him to a stump out in the middle of nowhere until I can figure out how I'm going to get him across the ocean.
Here, I'll tell you how. And this is a trick. People may want to try this with their own horse. What you do is you take out your sword and you just stab it until it breaks into a horsey block that you can then put into your pocket and then, you know, swim across the ocean. So just keep stabbing it. Don't worry, you won't hurt it. It's fine. Excellent. They put this in the game specifically for travel across the water, and then you'll be able to take it.
Yeah. Like I have already accidentally punched it in the face trying to put the saddle on it, and that was great fun.
Oh, no, you need a sword. A gold sword, actually.
Okay, gold sword. Okay,
gold
sweet.
Sword. Yeah.
Yep. Right in the old
writing that down now.
Right in the old rump good. Roast.
Good. I'm glad you are.
So you can check out my horse shenanigans on my channel if you feel like it.
Horse shenanigans.
Sweet, and that's over at Extreme Beyond?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Now we can move on, Brent.
From the Minecraft Daily, news and updates.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep,
beep, beep.
Let's go to the beep, beep. I'm going to beep, beep, beep.
So a lot of news this week, I feel like.
Yeah, we got a new snapshot.
Speaking of
snapshots.
Everybody's nipples get erect. Yeah, sure. The Minecraft devs have returned their noses to the grindstone. Isn't it there? Is their noses to the grindstone right? Is that the right phrasing?
Noses to the cobblestone, I think.
There's no questioning Astragala. You just read it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. After the holiday season. And so the first snapshot of 2014 emerged Thursday. The update's pretty big. New blocks, granite, diocite, and andesite. All can be found naturally. But oddly, granite and andesite can also be crafted from diocite and other materials. Slime balls can now be crafted into slime blocks. Landing on them removes fall damage and makes you and mobs bounce. Oh, that's awesome. Mossy stone bricks and chiseled stone bricks are now craftable. If you run out of fuel in a furnace, smelting will pause, not reset. I don't know what that means. Villager trading has been rebalanced and improved. Radical changes to the enchanting system, some good and some bad. Repair costs at the anvil have been improved. The crafting recipe for doors now yields 3 of them, and doors now stack to 64. Significant improvements to command blocks, but we won't get all technical here.
Yeah, so some cool
pretty
stuff.
Excited about those new blocks. That's exciting. New blocks always excites me.
Yeah, it's like you almost kind of think, oh, there's enough blocks, but then whenever they like put a new one in, it's like, ooh, what does this block do? I want to see this.
That bouncy block is going to make for some fun times.
And all those other ones, the granite and the diorite and the andesite, you can make like polished, and so you can make some decorative blocks, I guess, for your home.
So I can make my hermit hole all fancy.
Yeah, but no one will see it, so it doesn't matter. You can do some tweet pics of it and let us see it that way.
See, I never heard of a diacite or andesite, so it's very educational. And I remember when biomes came out, I had never actually heard the word biome before. I had to search it real quick. I had to Google that word. I was like, oh, interesting, okay.
Eric Fullerton, his eyes wide as he looks around the world. Everything's new to him.
Yeah. So this is very educational. I'm going to have to search on Wikipedia what a diacite is.
Yeah, I have no idea what they are either.
And I can't wait to check out the villager trading. They have like subcategories now or something. I don't know. I want to go see. So I'm going to hop into the Aberrant Goblin, I think maybe after the show, and try that out.
And bounce. You should be able to
You should be able to tie villagers to like fences so that they don't move around, because I can never find the ones that I have been trading with. They've always shifted houses or stuff.
Block them in. Yeah.
I think only you, Maz, get enjoyment out of tying people
tying
to,
things down. Yeah,
it makes his nipples erect.
It does. Apparently. They could cut glass. How exciting!
Yeah, they could cut diamond.
But I remember in our FTB server, we would portal in villagers. So we had tons of villagers. We basically made stalls so they couldn't move. They sat in their stall and sold you their goods, and they couldn't move out of it.
And slowly starved to death.
They all seemed to stay there for a while.
Creepy.
Do they starve to death? They don't starve to death.
I'm just
you're making it up. Quit screwing the game up for me. You're like messing with my head. It's about to explode. Anyway, next we got some we have some needed help for Botari. Big thanks to Joel Levin, or the Minecraft teacher, for bringing this to our attention. The Project 1845 creator, who has been a Shaft guest a few times, needs our help. He's been diagnosed with a brain tumor and needs help with funding the medical cost. He needs 8,000 Australian dollars, which is about 7,200 US dollars, to pay for treatment. The treatment has already started, but he needs to start paying for it this month. So if you're able to help, please get yourself to his GoFundMe site and donate. And we will link this in the show notes and get it out in the chat room.
Wow.
That's an incredibly sad story. Mm-hmm. So any support you can give him, even if it's $1, it all counts.
Yeah.
If every listener gave him $1, he would have it.
Yeah.
Wow. And that Project 1845 was the old China, ancient China remake. That's going to take 15 more years to complete or something like that. But you can already ride minecarts all around the world and everything like that. Just Google Project 1845. It is awesome. So, speaking of PS3,
My segues are bad.
Your segues are bad. That was horrible.
That was. PlayStation is like a tumor on this planet. That's where he was headed with that, I think.
Wow.
Okay, so, well, perhaps it's no surprise to Minecraft fans, but Sony announced that the game topped the PS3 sales charts last month. It was up against the likes of Battlefield 4, EA Sports, FIFA 14, and Gran Turismo 6, and it beat them all!
That's cool.
This could bode well for the PS4 and Vita editions.
That's cool. Are we going to get a Wii U version? So I think that touchpad would be really handy.
Well, there was a rumor going around last week about
Did
that.
Did we start it?
We might have started.
Yes, there is going to be a Wii U version.
And then
we're going to officially announce it on the show today.
And then Notch had said something on his Twitter. He said, no, there's not going to be one. I think there was some more knots in there. There was too many to count to calculate if it was a yes or a no answer. So maybe we'll see.
Exciting.
Yes.
He had a lot to say about Nintendo this week, didn't he? On Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you follow that?
No. You better been saying nice things.
What? Come again?
Was it nice things?
I think both.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I just can't remember exactly. I just realized it got so many replies. I suppose some people got upset at least. By the way, I met with Kalle, the CEO of Mojang. We went to the same place to have lunch the day before yesterday, I think. And like the first thing he mentioned was topping the PS3 sales charts. So I think he's really happy, really up about that.
Very awesome. Very cool.
Did he mention us?
I had to shut him up.
it's interesting, isn't it? That it's still, I mean, Minecraft has been out for years and years, and it's still, when it's brought out to a new platform, it just sells like nothing else, really. It's just really, it kind of surprises me, really. I thought it would have sort of slowed down a bit by now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's not like PlayStation 3 owners will not be aware of Minecraft existing, and it's not like they would have not had an opportunity to play it on another platform before. So I just, it's kind of hard to understand, really, why it just keeps selling and selling and selling.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Pokemon of games or something. You gotta
keep it is. Small. It is. Oh, wait until the Minecraft trading card game. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. Like in the board game when it comes out.
Yeah. So when you talked to Carl, did he mention anything about Nintendo?
No, he didn't. We just spoke very briefly. I didn't really ask. But he was also proud about it being the top-selling iOS app, I think, by a paid app last year. And it was mentioned like when Apple was bragging about selling how many billion. I can't even remember the figure now, but they broke some record for the App Store last year, and they mentioned Minecraft as one of the top-selling apps there, along with some other Swedish games, actually. Like Candy Crush Saga, of course, and one more that I can't remember right now. I don't have Nintendo news for you. I'm sorry.
That's in the next book.
It would make sense, though, to have Minecraft on the Wii U. I mean, the sort of touchpad would be amazing for... It really seems like a perfect fit for the game, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Well, in this next one... we've got a lot of book news this week. Like I feel like we're like giving away other people's books, and now we're talking about other books. But in this one, we can hook you up with Keith. I don't know if y'all have been on the Minecraft Monday show yet, but apparently a 10-year-old, Jake Mayer, and his mom, Chris, launched his first novel on Amazon. And they didn't think it would sell much, but they got on Bebop's Minecraft Monday show and sold over 11,000 copies, 7,000 in December alone. Wow. Yeah, there's a good venue.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. It's really amazing how this sort of Minecraft, I don't know, fan fictions might be the wrong word, but sort of stories set within Minecraft has really taken off as a sort of new genre. It's amazing. There's so many books on Amazon now, a lot of them are like this one selling really well. And I think I also know that some people in the sort of traditional publishing field, if you will, are beginning to take notice of this and trying to understand this, like how, what is this and how can we, how can we fit this into our business and so on. So it's great. It's great.
They can write any stories in the Minecraft world and it'll be so relatable to millions of people.
Yeah.
So it's a great way. It's like the new Harry Potter almost. Like people can
I agree.
Really get their imaginations going and, relate to it and go, I remember when I found my first diamond. And
it's also kind of beautiful to see how it's not being orchestrated by a big company like Mojang, for example, but it's kind of happening organically and naturally all over the world. It just shows, it gives it a lot more substance and a lot more, I don't know, it makes it much more meaningful and more interesting as a phenomenon, I think. Well done, Jake. I mean, that's a lot of authors all over the world would be happy if they sold 11,000 copies of their book. So
it's not bad.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We're actually talking
I've got an author friend who's just committed suicide after hearing the news that a 10-year-old has sold 11,000 more copies than his book.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Awkward.
Well, we've been talking about, Eric and I've been talking a while about doing a book on podcasting, and we were going to do a Kickstarter for it. Mm. And it, like, I would just be happy to sell a tenth of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, like that's what we were kind of shooting for with the Kickstarter. So maybe we're setting our aim too low. We just had to put Minecraft on there somewhere, right?
Was it going to be a book like how to do your podcasts, or
from beginning to end, how to do a successful podcast and make money from it? And,
technical side, community side, ethic, everything, really, just everything about it. From beginning to end.
So that's what we're looking for. When y'all were looking at publishing y'all's book, did y'all have thoughts of going to Kickstarter at all?
We did have thoughts of doing a Kickstarter for the translated version, because it wasn't. I mean, publishing is a really, really slow industry, and the Swedish edition of the book was released. What is it, Linus? Was it spring 2000?
A year and a half ago, yeah.
Yeah, a year and a half ago. So it takes a long time to get stuff rolling. So we were for a while there thinking, we'll just put this on Kickstarter and see if we can do it on our own, basically. But we then ended up with an offer from Seven Stories, which is our U.S. publisher. It's a really small, nice, independent little publisher based in New York. And they, they just seemed really enthusiastic and really, really liked them. So we decided to go with them instead. But yeah, Kickstarter was definitely something we thought of. It's kind of difficult though for journalists to, it's difficult to relate to Kickstarter in a sense, because it kind of turns the whole model upside down in a way. I mean, you present an idea and you tell people before it's done that this is what we want to do. And that's fine. I mean, that's great for a lot of things, but it's not how you as a journalist is used to thinking of your product. You know, for me, it makes sense to write something. And then after that, someone hopefully would pay something to read the story.
Right.
Whereas Kickstarter is the other way around. You sort of promise something and then people pay you and then you're supposed to deliver. And that's really a hard way of, it's difficult for a journalist to think of something, think of writing in that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
I suppose it's hard for the reader as well to decide whether. So this book that will be finished in a year from now will possibly be good enough for me to pay for it.
Yeah,
so I will pay for it now and just wait and see. Maybe there will be another book out before that that's better. I think it's different with a physical product like the Pebble watches, for example. You can see the render of the product before, and you can imagine how it will function, and pretty much know what you're investing in. But it's trickier with books. But I would like to see more projects like that take off, because that would sort of shake the book publishing industry as well. And as Daniel said, it's really slow, and they're not really adapting to the times we're in. So I think that would be healthy for them as well.
Yeah. I think Kickstarter tends to be really successful for products that people like the idea of supporting, rather than products that people actually, want to own or want to pay for. You can see that with games. I mean, most of the games that get funded on Kickstarter are either sort of appealing in a retro sense. It appeals to something that people remember from their childhood, or they're quite, they have that sort of trendy indie appeal to them. So it's more people investing in something that they want to be part of, sort of like a lifestyle type thing, rather than investing in something that they really want to maybe play or pay money for. So it's a different way of thinking of, what you're spending money on and why, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine like a fiction writer trying to push a book on, Kickstarter. It'll be about, elves and dwarves and a swords. It'd be awesome.
Unless you're really famous before, and it's your favorite author, and this is the only way you can make that person write another book, then I suppose it could be possible. But,
Yeah, we need it. Yeah. Good discussion.
Nice. And finally in the news, is EA grabbing Minecraft money? This week, Gamasutra published a press release from 100% Indie announcing that Minecraft is being released as a Samsung app. 100% indie is being touted as a way to get more indie games into Samsung's Android machines, with the majority of money going to the devs. Here's the thing, 100% Indie is a collab between Samsung and Chillingo. And Chillingo is a division of EA, those evil, get ready for your bleep button, evil asshats. So it looks like evil asshats managing to get in on the Minecraft action. Astragali asked for clarification from Mojang, and Daniel Kaplan responded, "We released on the Samsung App Store. We don't work with EA or Chillingo as far as I know." Nice. I don't know where he was from, but
he sounded
Australian. He might have been.
So really, this is a bunch of we have no clue what's going on.
It sounds like that was not news. Yes.
Yeah.
Astragali will follow this up in next week's episode of The Shaft.
Nice. Yeah. Well, and I think what I find more interesting is it seems like people are getting upset at even the notion of
EA.
Some sort of, yeah, right?
Somebody's how dare they?
But it's like, with like businesses that big, they do have like these subdivisions and things everywhere that it like, it actually, I think, takes digging to kind of find some of these connections.
Yeah.
I think this one's kind of stretching it a bit, isn't it? And also, the interesting thing when people get so upset about, you know, anything that Electronic Arts touches, only because there's this perception of Electronic Arts being this massive, giant, corporate monster. You know, it's worth remembering that Mojang isn't necessarily, it's not really a small company any longer either. I mean, a lot of the stuff Electronic Arts puts out isn't that good. This is a tiny portion of something which won't be, I mean, pretty obvious that this isn't going to be the world's biggest thing anyway. So, hey, the game's still the same game, isn't it? So, does it really matter who publishes it?
Yeah. Huh. Interesting stuff there, and that will wrap up the news for this week. Yes. Yes, sir.
From the Shaft News Desk, we've been the news.
For more news, listen next week when we'll talk about more news, or maybe news.
You've been newsed.
Over to Afro with the weather.
Challenge you. It's cold.
All right, and with that, we'll move on.
I challenge you to have the first listener contributions on the Shaft of 2014!
Yay! So this is the first contributed listener contributions of 2014, and that was coming at us from JBJ Blaze.
Woo. Thanks, JBJ. Oh,
Jabble Jabble.
He sends us lots of good bumpers.
Oh, yes.
And this first one here is from BioFrel, who says, "Hey, guys. Certain Minecraft updates in the past have been thematic. For example, the adventure update and the pretty scary update. What do you hope the next update theme will be?"
I already know.
Oh.
I want oceans.
That's the one.
I think that's the one. I want the pudding update.
The pudding update?
Yeah. $240
for the pudding. Nice. All right, pudding update.
Shut up and put your ass in that pudding.
We got the underwater update soon. So the aquatic update. This hasn't happened yet, but it came to us in a dream. And it seems legit. And it's just something that needs to happen. Underwater worlds, so. Coral reef, sunken treasure, and pirate ships and stuff like that. Sharks, dolphins, you know, the usual.
Pirates.
I'd like the
mermaids.
Pirates.
Pirates, mermaids.
Yes.
And
sirens.
Aquaman.
Sirens. Krakens.
Krakens.
There's so much. Yeah. It's a new game almost.
Loch Ness. And lobsters.
Did Carl mention anything about aquatic updated?
What about Bubba Gump Shrimp? Huh? Did I go too far with that one? What? What's wrong with shrimp? You guys hate shrimp? You guys are shrimpists.
It can be the Minecraft Lego set.
Trying to have a shrimp on the bobby.
Shrimp in the bobby.
A little Minecraft shrimp and Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
I like shrimp and grits.
Maybe Lieutenant Dan's legs are floating around in the ocean somewhere. That'd be cool.
Okay, gotta pull that bottom lip in otherwise you'll set off a trip mine.
Cthulhu, that's a good one too, Iron Waffle.
Ooh.
So yeah, I don't know. That sounds like basically what's gonna go down. What do you think, Linus? What's the next big update theme? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if I could, you mean like 1.9 or?
Yeah, I guess the next big theme. Like, what would you like to see?
I don't know. I think anything that moves into the Redstone, anything more in the Redstone area, I think is always interesting. So I would hope something within that. But I'm not a huge. I mean, I enjoy watching Redstone videos, but I don't really. I don't build that much myself, so I can't really wish for anything specific, but something like that would sort of something that would challenge Seth Bling, I suppose.
I'd like to see Mojang give Seth Bling a job to come up with, you know, come up with the next update, because the stuff he does is just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact that he works with Dinnerbone to extend the command blocks and all this kind of thing, and I'm just like, why isn't he just not on staff? You know,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool. All right.
Next one here from the Wilja.
The Wilja.
I've always wanted to submit a mini game to the forums, but I'm not very good at thinking of unique ideas. So I've come to you guys for suggestions on a mini game or a map.
Ooh.
My first idea is pudding.
Pudding.
Oh,
pudding
man.
But that's generally my idea for everything.
Pudding. How can we get more pudding in this, and how do I put it inside me?
That's your only concern.
Uh-oh.
I've got one that's timely, and it may be timely enough that you could actually get this done in time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But a remember the old Nintendo Olympics games?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Make a winter a Winter Olympics game in Minecraft where you can actually do the Winter Olympics like as they're going on this year.
And you got less than a month.
You got less than a month. So get on that, Seth.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe like you even get a trackpad that you bang with your fist because it doesn't register your feet.
Oh yeah.
These are old school jokes.
I remember those. Yeah.
A dark tunnel. That was the hardest. That was the hardest. Are we on the same page? The NES.
I think this is an Australian version only.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're running on the. Yeah. Oh my god. People died playing that game.
So the next one here from the Flaming Chicken. He's actually on fire. Mm-hmm. Hey, noble people of the Shaft. Keep up the good work. What's wrong with me? The crap work, Brian. Also, I submitted to excavation station last week, and it did not come through. Was this because I submitted on my iPod Touch? And then Astrogali replies here: it did come through. It just didn't survive my highly judgmental selection process. Sorry.
Wow. Harsh.
Very hard.
They are screened, and it's probably because it was either really super crappy, no offense,
or it had been submitted before.
Yeah,
we can't all have gems all the time.
But basically, like we like. I mean, you know, it's all subjective, right? Like, you know, what is crappy, right? But we like the very out there ideas. Some might say that's a stupid idea, but they're fun. You know, they're like really crazy and wacky stuff. Really, I think that the one big thing that will cause your submission not to be on the show is if we've just simply done it before, you know.
Yeah, and also we've only got a certain amount of time. We can't put everybody's ideas in every show; otherwise, we'd be here for days.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, we get more of these than we do art submissions.
Yeah,
barely.
Oh.
But
yeah, and what we do is we keep these down to 5 per show, so that's kind of the magic number, unless there's absolutely only one good one or something that week, but, you know, no more than 5, it seems to be, so.
Yeah.
So try again.
And as you can tell, this next one is a genius of a thing, so we're going to read it from Lego Clone 123. Well, you wanted to know which episodes I listened to, so here you go. 82, 110, 111, 115, 121, 127, 128, and 157 through 163. On another note, if one has an idea for a guest for the show, where would one submit that idea?
Ooh. Just tweet the Shaft podcast, probably.
Tweet them and us. Because, see, here's the thing. It's not so much us finding a guest, because there's a ton out there that we want to get on the show.
It's them wanting to be on the show.
It's them
yeah.
getting in contact, us getting in contact with them. That's the hardest thing, is for us to get in contact with another person, because in this age of like when people have a ton of fans,
yeah.
we are just in that same pool as you. Like, we don't have a special bat phone or shaft phone where we go, doo, 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 doo. Hey, yeah. we want you on the show. We've got to go through the same avenues as you would.
And what's that phone over there?
We don't talk about that.
That's the Aquaman phone.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh. So basically, like, how long have we been trying to contact Conan O'Brien and also Obama? His kids play? Yeah. So, like, I mean, a lot of these people just ignore
Oh, you guys are trying to get in touch with Obama?
Oh, you know.
Oh, I could totally get in touch with Obama.
You guys trade pudding all the time, don't you?
Ooh, trading pudding. That sounds like a euphemism.
One that I'd never want to know the definition to.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that like a rusty trumpet?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Never Google.
No? Okay.
What's this last one here?
It's from Mason.
Mason.
I just wanted to clarify some points brought up on episode 163. Was that the last one? I don't remember. Maybe a couple ago.
Two ago, yeah.
This seems really long.
Most likely reason why PS4 and PS3 will not be able to cross-talk or transfer maps, hardware architecture has changed drastically between the two consoles. This form of backwards compatibility, which isn't on the cards for both Microsoft and Sony for a huge variety of reasons. Reasons for difficulty locking. It can be a huge help to survival LPers, custom map makers, and the like. Lots of survival LPers use Creative Worlds to test ideas and then will accidentally log into their LP world in Peaceful, for instance, causing Etho to lose a name tag charged creeper he had captured. So much information there that I didn't care about. But yes, good point about the... about the hardware architecture being a problem. I went really Australian in. The hardware architecture. Thanks, Mason.
So basically, difficulty locking, like locking it. I personally love the idea that you can just change suddenly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cheat. It's like a cheat code. I mean, all of a sudden, okay, everybody go away. Now it's peaceful. Now I'm safe.
Well, sometimes you just want to focus on your builds. So you turn it on to peaceful so you can work through the night on it. And other times you want to adventure, so you turn it back on to hard.
Yeah.
Some
sometimes
people forget
you feel
to
like a nut, sometimes you don't.
And sometimes you just want to move on to the next segment.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. That's right. Time
for listener contributions. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's
just
not.
Kidding. Yeah. I was just kidding. You guys don't like jokes? Okay. Or mistakes. Jeez, I'm going to cry now. All right?
Don't cry.
Okay.
For Argentina.
You sit in the corner, Eric, and you think long and hard about what you've done.
I will. Until then,
yeah.
Listen to this bumper.
Excavation Station.
Woohoo!
I was going to back you up on the Vita reference, but they started talking.
It's okay. I'm all good. I'm all good. I'm just... whatever. So this is a segment where we talk about new ideas for Minecraft, what could be added or even removed
or touched up or
turned upside down.
Get rid of horses.
Or turned into pudding.
Yep, definitely.
We kind of already covered this but that was games though.
Yeah.
You guys, Daniel and Linus, is there anything y'all have ever wanted in Minecraft that you thought should be there?
There's so much stuff being put in all the time. I remember when we wrote the book, we were talking to Jen. I'm actually flipping through it now to find that part of it. We were talking to Jens quite a lot about, like, you know, Jens Jeb, the, you know, the lead developer, obviously, of Minecraft, what he himself
liked. No idea
what
you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. What he himself liked to do most, you know, when working on Minecraft. And I remember he had some really good points that I'm now trying to find in the book so that I can reference them. but this is obviously before, a long time before much of the stuff that is in the game now came to be.
I think some of the things he mentioned back then it's in the game now. Like he was talking about how when the squid was created, for example. That's, if I'm not mistaken, the very first thing he put in there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Squids, yeah. Squid was apparently his first contribution to the game. And yeah. Carl described, you know, the moment when Jens showed Marcus the squid he had created. Carl who was standing next to them described that as you know, a very, very scary moment, because he was very afraid that that Marcus wouldn't like what Jens had done. And if that would have been the case, then, you know, partnership between them would never have happened. You know, they would never have, you know, they could never have worked together, basically. But it was
the very first time someone other than Marcus touched the code. And apparently, I'm not a programmer, but apparently he's, as you probably know, self-taught, and the way he programs is pretty weird. So he finds his own solutions to problems, and looking at his code as another developer is quite hard to understand exactly how he solved certain problems. So it wasn't exactly clear that he would find his way around and being able to create something and create something that Marcus would approve of. So he stayed in the office one winter when the others were away celebrating Christmas, and came up with the squids. And that's when this situation happened, when the others and Caleb were so worried. But it turned out pretty well. And a year or so later, he was the lead developer.
Didn't he talk a lot? This was before horses were in the game, obviously. But didn't he talk a lot about how people, you know, the endless requests for horses that kept
coming? I'm not sure it's in the book, but I'm pretty sure he mentioned it. So that idea has been lying around for quite some time, I guess.
And he, you know, he didn't want to put horses in the game, but there were so many requests from people for horses that apparently in the end they found a way to put them in there. But this was obviously before they, you know, this was quite a long time ago, so a lot has happened since then.
I think personally he preferred cats.
Yes.
Like, the cats are inspired by his house cats, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool insight.
I suppose sort of anything within the game that, sort of keep coming back to Redstone again, but anything that opens up, I mean, rather than specific features that do one thing and can't really be worked with or experimented with, anything that opens up new avenues of creation or exploration are what I find most interesting. You know, stuff that allows people to create interesting things within Minecraft.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And we're actually running a little late tonight, so we're gonna do only a few of these excavation stations and sightings. But let's get to these. So the first one here from Melting Geode: they want blocks that, when you die on them, would suck up all your items that fell and drop them below into a pit or some lava. It'd be great for arena maps as a punishment for dying. Just have them die in the lava.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Right?
So easy, like a sponge, like an item sponge.
Like
Yeah,
what's the thing you put on things that sucks the stuff down?
Hopper?
Hopper, yeah. It's kind of like a hopper, but into lava. I say just let them fall into lava. No reason to make a block.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this.
Yeah, nah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Rapid Ninja, our friend Rapid Ninja 42 Ninja, sent this one in. Hey guys, some idea has probably been talked about a million times, but I would like to see more technology put into the game. Now, I don't mean guns and cars. I mean things like spy glasses and airships. Oh. It doesn't have to be much, but I just think that Minecraft has been in the Stone Age for too long.
Oh, wait. Sorry, Notch is here. He had something to say.
Worst idea ever.
Ouch. Oh,
sorry about that, wow. Rapid Ninja. Right. Hey, that's not us talking. That's Notch talking.
Mm.
See here, airships and spyglasses. That's quite the range there.
What would the spyglass do? Just give you like a
telescope?
Okay.
Yeah. So
I can see it on a PvP, but like
I'm a fan of that because
single play.
Yeah, like the what is that mod? What is it? Optifine. So Optifine by default, if you hold your left control button, it will zoom everything in, just like binoculars or whatever, spyglasses. Yeah. I don't know. Is that what we're talking about here?
I think
magnified
so.
Magnified telescope?
Yeah. You know, it'll be a circle because it's a spyglass and it's like the pirate looking.
Oh, yes. It's like more fantasy.
But it would be huge.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't know about airships.
Yeah. I mean, they'd probably do it square.
Yeah.
Airships is cool, but
a diamond.
Not
diamond. Yeah. I like that.
A diamond shape?
We're discussing stuff over here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Think tank over here.
Think tank.
Okay, so good one. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, yeah, half of it. Yeah. Half of it's good.
Half of it.
Yeah. Biome changing. This is from Maxo11X wants biomes should change. Like planting new trees should turn that area into new forest instead of grassland with trees. Also, deserts turn into grassland with added water.
That's
so yeah. Terraforming. Basically, you could be able to terraform.
And I could kind of see that, but it would have to be more factors than just planting some trees.
Yeah.
You know, because like a desert, yes, if you add water, then more stuff can grow, but also it's sand that doesn't have a lot of nutrients for trees and stuff. So you're going to have to do a lot more than just add water.
Yeah. Right, so not like a bucket, but you think maybe if you like brought in enough to make a nice enough pond stuff, that it would make an oasis?
But make it a enough effort to where...
You'd have to plant seeds and stuff. Like, you can't go to the moon and dump some water on it, and all of a sudden there's like a forest.
Yeah,
there's already water there.
Is there?
Sure. Didn't they find water?
I thought they, thought they found water.
We live
on
in
Mars,
a town.
Like
maybe it's Mars I'm thinking of.
We live in a town where there's like more NASA personnel, and we don't know this. Like
the Rocket City. Don't listen to this podcast for any information.
Like last
about
time
it.
I was on the moon, I didn't see any water there.
Okay,
so.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Speaking of seeing things.
Oh, great one. All right, then. Speaking of.
Sightings.
Huh? Seeing things?
So beautiful. Oh my God, it's so intense!
Wow.
You know, I just have to say that the awesome segue loses a little bit when you start discussing the awesome segue.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Does it really? I always thought it enhanced
it. It's a tradition.
It.
It's a tradition, I think.
It's a judicial system.
Well, as you know, the show is also sponsored by Netflix. If you want a free month of Netflix, head over to netflix.com/deadworkersparty and get a free month of all the TV and movies you can stand to watch on there.
Yes. Yes. Beyond the Universe with Stephen Hawking.
Oh, I thought you were saying so like Beyonce.
So good. So good. I'm watching that right now. There's two seasons. Hawking, he's a smart, smart man.
Oh, yes, he is.
And he will teach you about aliens and time travel and really cool stuff. All on Netflix. I'm hooked. So what's this first?
I'm watching Justified at the moment, trying to catch up before I start the new season. Is that on Netflix? I don't know. We don't get Netflix down here. Oh. Down here. It's too hot for Netflix down here.
So we have a Mojam. That's the Mojam.
Oh, yeah. New Mojam.
Mojam. Mojam building competition. Mojang hasn't actually announced yet if they're going to do a Mojam this year, though they probably will. But it hasn't stopped Fame MC from announcing the third Mojam building competition. And we'll link to this in the show notes where you can find out more about it.
So you guys are Swedish. How do you say Notch's company's name?
I usually say Mojang. This was actually something I discussed with the narrator of the audiobook, how to pronounce all the weird Swedish names and words. But I suggested we would say Mojang. But in Swedish, it would be Mojang.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Mojang, possibly. What would you say, Daniel?
Yeah, so Mojang is spelled the same way, but you put two dots over the A, and that the word means like little thing or gizmo or something like that. But the correct spelling is with an A, and the correct pronunciation, I think, is the English one, right? Which is Mojang.
That's what they say.
That's what it's intended anyway. So,
yeah.
But Mojang is the Swedish word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
So for once we were
there. You go.
We were right about something.
We got something right.
We also got a cool link to an Instructable. I don't know if you're aware of that site where they show you how to make stuff at home. But user Armored Boar shows us how to make a USB powered redstone lamp.
Ooh.
So we'll link to this so you can do this. Did any of y'all watching these videos that we should talk about or?
I have not.
Okay, well, let's save the videos for next week, and we'll watch them and pick out ones that we really want. I also definitely want to get in a link to Amazon to Minecraft, The Unlikely Tale of Marcus Notch Pearson, and the game that changed everything from Daniel Goldberg and Linus Larsson.
Hey.
This thing, I'll be honest, I haven't read it yet, but just going through during the show, it actually has intrigued me, and I actually can't wait to read it now. So I'm looking forward to that, and as well as the audio version.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the audio version because I can't read.
Christopher Walker one, or?
Either. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, if they come out with both, I'll buy both.
You get both.
Yeah.
With those credits. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and that's right. Just say it one more time. If you go to audibletrial.com/theshaft, you get a free book when you sign up for the trial. And if you're listening to this episode in the future and this is already out, hey, that's a great way to get the book now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people can see this on the air, but this is hardback. I mean, it's not a softback book. It's nice. And it's a nice size. It's like not huge. Hardback, but there are a lot of pages. And right now, I believe, unless it's changed, it's actually on sale on Amazon, I believe.
It is.
So like, you should go get it right now before it's off sale.
$16 US. $16.10
for the hardcover. Or the Kindle version's $10.44.
The Kindle?
It's actually Kindle. The new version's cheaper than the used version.
Oh.
So
yeah.
So go get it. And enjoy that. Is there anywhere else you would like to send folks, Twitters or websites or anything like that?
Well, I tweet in Swedish, so if you want to follow me there, it's Linus Larsson with a double S, if you like Swedish words.
I'm following
you. Get your fill
right
of Swedish
now.
Words.
And Daniel, it was Daniel G. Zero Goldberg.
Yeah, Daniel Goldberg, but zero instead of the O. It's a very, very bad Twitter handle.
Three words, honestly.
but follow me for interesting thoughts in Swedish, just to sort of spice up your feed a bit, I suppose.
Mm.
It's stuff you don't understand.
And retweet it with what you think it means.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, you don't want my translations because it'll be horrible.
Everything means pudding.
Pudding. Mm. More pudding. Yeah. And you can also follow us. That's Dead Workers on Twitter. And each and every week, the show's on Fridays around 8 p.m. Central. Just check that Twitter out. Aztec will let you know when the show will be if it changes from that time. You can also call us at 256-812-1010 and leave us a voicemail. We get to those every few weeks. So if it's timely, you will probably want to submit it to our website at submit.deadworkers.com. And that's where you put in all your ideas, excavation station sightings, and all that good stuff that Astrogolly and Crystal Crow checks out for us.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us iTunes reviews. Join the party, deadworkers.com.
Join that party and check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/deadworkersparty. You can watch this right here. You can see everybody's faces and all the fan art and all this crazy stuff. The chat room is immortalized forever on our YouTube videos. So if you're chatting right now, you're on YouTube as well.
Woo!
Say hi to your mom for me.
Say hi to everybody. This comes out every single Monday. And that's it. Watch live. Twitch.tv/deadworkersparty.
Congratulations again to Don Swordsman for winning the Minecraft Beginner's Handbook by sending in some very cool fan art. If you would like to win something next week, got this little piggy. Oh, little plush piggy. Oh, it's so cute. He's been popping up during the show. If you want to spend the night with him and maybe keep him, send in some fan art to all of those places.
Yeah, and you can
see that we mentioned before.
Nice,
and
yeah.
This could be yours next week.
Pound shirt to Pound Dead shirt. Workers. At right. Dead Workers, right?
Yes. And thanks again.
Horrible, horrible
Daniel
idea.
And Linus for being on the show. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Congratulations, you made it through The Shaft alive. See show notes and leave comments for this episode at theshaft.deadworkers.com. Send questions, comments, and audio to theshaft@deadworkers.com or leave us a voicemail at 256-812-1010. Dead Workers Party Network. Get your with The Shaft.